Let's step away from the business, though, and talk about Kim personally, because that's what this business is about. It's about one individual affecting another individual and affecting their lifestyle, affecting, you know, what they do on a regular basis, what makes people tick. So let's talk about you. What makes you tick? You were involved, I know, with a sport, and it was called dragon boat racing.
Well, dragon boating actually is one of the fastest growing water sports in North America today, and it is a 22-man canoe. So picture a huge canoe, and they're made out of wood, and they fit 22 people, and there's a steers person, and there's somebody at the front of the canoe, and it's called the drummer. And it's in the shape of a canoe, obviously, and then but at the front is the dragon head, and at the back is the tail. And they're all colorful in different colors, and what you do is you race a certain length of sort of like probably 2 or 3 football fields, depending on the race. And, of course, you're timed on your best time, and I love that sport. And I took a lot from that sport, Steve, from that sport that I learned, because it was all about teamwork. We all had to have the same stroke, the same timing, the same synergy. We all had to be having the same goal. And so when I was involved in the sport, dragon boating, I was really excited to be involved in it. But what I realized, what I learned from that sport was so much more team building. And it sort of just came right into what was network marketing was all about. And Steve, I did that sport for a long time. I did it for about 4 years, and I did it every weekend. Of course, that it was warm in Canada, that we could actually go out on the water. But after 3 years, I developed my own team. I said I wanted a winning team. So, Steve, what I did was I went and I watched everybody throughout that whole year, and I handpicked the people that I believed that would make the team that I wanted win the championship. And so I hand-delivered a letter to every single person at the end of the season. And the overwhelming response from that letter that I delivered, Steve, every single person that I gave that letter to, but one, which was about 40 people, came on my team. And understand this, I was not a captain of a team before. I've never been a coach in dragon boating. I'd never done anything like that. But what I did do is I knew that every single person that I had handpicked had never won number one, had never been number one in the particular race that we wanted to be in. And I knew that a lot of people had been seasoned dragon boaters and that they wanted that, that would be their completion of who they were in dragon boating, and that would complete what they had done. So anyways, everybody called me back right away. They all called me back. They all wanted to be on the team. They were so excited to be on the team, and then we just started a practice right away.
Now, it sounds like you actually had this planned out, like you had a vision for your success. It wasn't on the last day of the season where you bumped into Joe and said, hey, Joe, would you be interested in maybe, I don't know, being on my team? And hey, Mary, what do you think? It sounds like you had it planned out, you had a vision for it, and then you cared more about the spirit of winning than really who said yes or no.
Absolutely, Steve. And I also hung out after the events. And this goes again with network marketing, is I hung around after the events to get to know the people personally, to get to know what their attitude was like, to get to know who they were, so I could determine whether I wanted their attitude on my team, because that was the most important part. It wasn't their technique necessarily. I would watch their technique, and what I did is I got on other boats and pretended that I would just be the drummer for that day. I would show up early for practices, not my practices, and I would just show up, and nobody knew what I was doing. I just looked like I was just trying to get to know more people in that field.
Kim, that's very interesting. And just to conclude that story, you went on to win the North American Dragon Boat Festival that year. I want to congratulate you for that. But then, you know, just when most people would say, wow, you know, you're on top of the world, you actually had to stop that, because that was about the same time you got into network marketing, and you realized that it was going to take a very high level of commitment. I think you're the kind of person just like me that's, you're not a toe dipper, and you said, hey, if I'm going to make this work, I'm gonna commit to it. So why don't you talk a little bit about how tough that decision was for you? Because I know that there's many people listening to these tapes that have similar kind of things that they'll have to give up if they want to have that kind of success.
Steve, I really didn't want to give it up, but I knew that wasn't going to make me any money in life. It wasn't going to be my career. Yes, it was a tough decision, but in a sense, it was an easy decision because I knew that I had to move on and do other things. I knew that what I got from that, from being a captain of that team, that I could take what I got from that and put it into a career. I believed more in myself now. I developed a team that went to the top of the charts, if you want to say that, and I knew that I could do that. I had a belief that I could do it in network marketing because it was a team that did it. It wasn't me who did it. It was the team.
Kim, let's take a look at a couple of things. I know that in our industry, I was told once that it takes 3 to 5 years of consistent effort to be successful. You call it your learning curve. It'll take the rest of your life if you keep doing what you're doing and don't change things to fail. Now, in dragon boating, you didn't have immediate success, right? I mean, you were pretty much going from, you know, loss to loss over about a 3-year period while you were learning that business. Is that fair?
That's 100% fair. I had been in drag. I mean, somebody had just come up to me my first day and said, "Here, which way do you paddle, right or left?" And put a paddle in my hand. And I said, "Okay, I paddle on the left-hand side." And Steve, you know, it was 3 years before I really drew the line in the sand because nobody would let me on their A championship team because I didn't have the experience. But I knew I had the spirit.
That's fantastic. And hopefully our listeners can draw an analogy in your life. Maybe you have been very successful in another area and you've paid your dues. So when you came into your company, you had a little bit faster success than other people. But for the average person, they're going to have to pay their dues somewhere. So it could be here, it could be there. But a lot of times what we don't get at big company conventions is the stories behind the stories. So you're in dragon boating, you failed for 3 years, then you put together a championship team. How does that relate to the people that are listening and to your network marketing career?
Well, I brought a lot of the experience of building a team and recruiting. I didn't realize that it was sort of in somewhat the same thing. But it's still, Steve, I still had to build my business. I still had to build a whole new business, which was my network marketing business.
Now, for the person that's never been involved in sales, for the person that's never put together a team, for a person that's never been involved in recruiting, but they're just as frustrated as you were in corporate Canada, what's the first step?
Steve, what happened next was I was excited about the company I was with. I was moving forward. I was very, very pumped about where I was going in the company. But all of a sudden, the rug got pulled out from underneath me, and that company was gone. And so I had two choices, Steve, to make. And the one choice was to go back to corporate Canada, which I had stated earlier that was not for me at all. And the next choice was that everybody had the same thing happen to them in the company. And so we basically all had made a decision together that we would stay together and that we would find a company together. And we found that company together. And the only issue with that was that they were open in the United States and they were doing very well there. They just weren't open up in Canada yet. They were coming and they were opening soon. We just had no idea as to when they were going to open. So that's the company that we chose at that point.
Now, Kim, I think the next step is crucial. The company didn't wind up opening up for, I believe it was 9 months. And rather than just say, "Hey, when it opens, we'll start," you started and you started doing weekly meetings every week. You started doing trainings every Saturday. You started doing, receptions in people's homes. And the funny thing was, is I saw you do a meeting there once, is you opened up a meeting once and said, "Hey, there's not going to be any arm twisting because we don't have any applications. We're not even open for business. We're just sharing the information with you." What was that like for those 9 months? It must have been frustrating.
Well, first of all, I want to make sure everybody who's listening understands that I had a job. I got a part-time job to pay my bills again, and I was very responsible in knowing that I had to live. Of course, I wasn't going to get paid unless I did some business in the United States, which I had done a little bit in the United States just to sort of get a feel for, you know, doing some sales and some different things. But, Steve, I was excited. I mean, I came back with a group of people, about 10 of us, that wanted to lead this company in this country, you know, of course, in our own country, that we could do that because we could actually open it up. So I went back with the attitude of, we can do this together and we're going to do this together. And so the weekly meetings and the trainings and the trainings at my house and the conference calls and all that kind of stuff, it was exciting but exhausting.
Kim, I think the old saying goes, teamwork makes the dream work. What did you do in those 9 months to keep your team together when they signed up for a business, nobody was making any money, so you had like a volunteer army of distributors or associates that weren't getting paid? How did you keep the team together during those 9 months?
Well, remember, we had already been together for some time. We had already been in another company for, you know, a good year. So we were like a family, and we were going in the same direction. So that's really why we stayed together, was because we believed so much in each other and in this company and in this product or good or services that we had, that we would be able to do that.
Kim, let's just take a look at what we've talked about so far and sort of summarize for our listeners, because it's a very interesting story. You got involved in network marketing. You had no background whatsoever in this industry. You were working at a bank. You hated your corporate lifestyle, but you knew you needed a change. Your boyfriend his uncle invites you to a meeting. You go and you're not interested, invites you to another meeting of another company a month or two later. You go to that. You get excited. Your biggest month is about $70. And you're doing that for a year, you know, you spend your own money to go to the company convention to find that there is no more company, that they're going out of business. And so for the next 9 months, you survive on no income. They keep telling you, we're going to open soon. Hey, right now, most of the people would quit. About 80% of the people, this would knock out. You know, hey, if the company went out of business, I would say that most of the people are going to quit. They're not going to go look for something else. But you stayed the course, and then, you know, what winds up to be just a major success story of how you wind up becoming one of the top networkers in all of North America. What was going through your mind to be able to have that stick and stay mentality?
Well, Steve, I was a student of this industry. I would be on any conference call by any leader that I respected in this company and in this industry and listen to what they said. And so throughout that, I was listening to conference calls for the people that were in the States, which was still part of my team, you know, my upline support team, and they were making significant money. They were doing really, really well. And so I knew it was only a matter of time before I was there.
Kim, what I want our listeners to get here is that a lot of times on stage, people say, I made this amount, or I made this amount, or I made this amount. And again, the listener doesn't hear the whole story. I want our listeners to understand that this is a business. And for your first whole year, you made about, I don't know, $300 Canadian. And for the first 9 months of your new venture, you made zero. And then you say in your first month you made $7,000. I think we'd all agree that it really took, you know, almost 2 years for you to get up to that $7,000 per month income. So you've went through all that, and now it seems like you're on top of the world. I mean, you're hosting the biggest event. This company, you know, one of the biggest events this company has ever seen. They're opening up a whole new country. You've just made more money, three times more money than you've ever made in a month. And it just seems like you're on top of the world. And what happens next?
Well, Steve, I was on top of the world to be the host of the company on the first night of our grand opening. And as you know, we were the ones that ran that grand opening. And it was so much fun. I felt so good. I felt like I accomplished something. It was so magnificent. However, there is a little hiccup, Steve. The government had decided that they wanted to change some regulations that we had to do with our product. So about 4 months after the opening, Steve, we had to make a change in our company right before New Year's Eve.
Now, Kim, there's an old saying, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And you decided at that moment, again, I got two options. I can quit or I can move forward. And then once you move forward, you got two options. I can move forward with a good attitude or I can move forward with a lousy attitude. Which one did you choose?
Well, I did have a choice, but my choice was to have a good attitude because I had a team and I had to look out for my team at that point during the other transition that I had to go through. I didn't really have a team, so it was just me I was looking after. Now I was looking after the whole entire team that I had built. And so it was really important for me to have that good attitude. And Steve, just so the listeners understand, I lost about 80% of my business in approximately 1 week.
Now, Kim, right there, again, most people are gonna take the option to say, hey, maybe this thing wasn't for me. Hey, maybe my friends and family were right. Hey, maybe I should just go get a secure paycheck, a weekly paycheck that I can count on week to week, month to month, and I'm going to go back to mediocrity, and hey, this entrepreneurship isn't for everybody. What made you different?
I guess, Steve, again, it's one of those things. I decided to stay with the company and move forward with the company simply because, you know, I realized that there's a lot of change in the world. I know there's a lot of change in the corporate world that I was in, at the bank and with Bell Canada. There was always change. There's changing with the government. I mean, we know that. There's changing with all sorts of different companies. There's change in relationships. There's change in your friendships and family and everything. And frankly, I didn't want to start over. I wanted to stay with the people that I was with, and I wanted to move forward. And although it was somewhat like starting over, but I was with the group of people that I knew that we'd still continue and succeed together. I wanted to be around the people that I was around. They had already fulfilled so many things inside of me, and I had fulfilled so many things for them that we had just had the most wonderful relationships with so many people that I couldn't see myself walking away from that.
And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times in this business, you hear the success stories, you hear about the glamorous lifestyles of the top leaders, the fancy cars, the fancy homes. What you don't always get is the story behind the story. So what we wanted to do is share with you a little bit of Kim's story behind the story today. Now let's look at the story here. It took us 30 minutes to really get to the to the meat of the story. The challenge is, though, is that what the new associate, the new distributor, only really gets to hear is about 20 or 30 seconds of someone's success story. So say, for instance, Kim, if you would tell your story, because, you know, they're rushed backstage and they might say, hey, we've only got 20 seconds. Can you keep it tight? So the new distributor associate's wondering, you know, how did they do it? How did they get from where they were all the way to where they are now? What really happened? So what we wanted to do is tell you the story behind the story. So let's back up and have you hear what Kim might say a couple of years ago. Of course, before we were married, she had her acceptance speech in front of 10,000 screaming fans.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kim Lloyd, and I am so excited to be here. I'm from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, and I've been with the company now for about a year, and we finally opened up in Canada. My first paycheck was $7,000, and I am so pumped. So if I can do it, you can do it.
Every one of us has a story that may or may not be exactly similar to Kim's, but I think we can all relate. Life places obstacles in our way time and time again. And I was once told that the size of a leader is determined by the size of the problems that they can overcome. How big of a leader are you? How committed are you to developing and learning those leadership skills over time? If you're anything like Kim, it'll take a couple of years. And if you're anything like Kim, the reward will be well worth the journey.